The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to the preaching of God's word based on the text Matthew 25, would you bow your hearts and your heads with me in prayer? Gracious God, you invite us these later days to keep watch, to always see you as the chief headline, the ticker at the bottom of the screen is a constant reminder that you are always present, always calling us forward toward your heavenly throne. And so we ask for a persevering kind of faith these later days, as the world wars around us, as chaos seems to reign in so many places, you are still sovereign. You still retain control. You are our God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Another week, huh? It never ceases to amaze me. From my point of view, I feel like for the past year as a pastor in an evangelical conservative congregation, that I have just been on a roller coaster ride of giving answer into our congregation regarding stuff taking place in our culture. I feel like I'm in the midst of an avalanche of cultural pressure. It feels like, from my point of view, every week I come into this pulpit, there's a new headline that has stolen the thunder of our attention for the prior week, and somehow I constantly feel like an insufficient man, given the fact that the topics of conversation that come out of the week prior require extended attention. And yet, in the habit and practice of our Concordia congregation, I got 15 minutes, 19 to 20 if you're lucky, right? And this week is no different. Just again, as a reminder, the things that overwhelm your heart and mind and soul, they overwhelm mine as well, not just as a human being, but even more germane to this gathering as your pastor. And the things that I preach, even though I may not mention people or places or events, tawdry or otherwise, fake news allegedly or otherwise, they're in the back of my head and they come out of the front of my mouth through the preaching of this word. And I find myself longing for the picture that was posted on my Facebook timeline this past week by Joan Dix, a member of my youth group growing up at Peace Lutheran Church, where I was the third child baptized, the second boy, and my wife Renee was the second child baptized, the first girl of the church. And we're married now, she's my wife. And the long and short of it is we go back a long way, is my point. And we have a lot of nostalgic memories of growing up on the Northern Illinois Prairie, where only a few weeks ago I went back for the Corn Festival with my own children. And Joan Dix, she posted a raft of pictures from some of the old pictorial directories. You know these pictures just as much as I do. I'll tell my picture story, but the goal is for you to bubble them up in your own heart and head, pictures of you with your mom and dad maybe, or your family, maybe not in a church pictorial directory, maybe it's the pictures that you always get sucked into seeing because when you're home for Thanksgiving or whatnot, everybody has to get out the old picture albums and make fun of your old haircut, hairdo, the clothes you wore. So Joan Dix posted the picture of us, and we were at Atlantic Mountain Ranch in South Dakota. I was 15 years old. It was our youth group trip, and our youth group was big. We were one of the biggest churches, if not the biggest church, in Morris, Illinois. And I can still taste the barbecue chicken. You know, boys remember food most of all, right? And the joy, I looked at that picture this past week, I followed all the comments. It still a tight-knit Facebook community, I followed all the comments from my classmates growing up about all the nostalgia and the safety and the security and the joy and the normalcy and predictability of those days. And in this particular week, like so many others before it, as a child of God, a Christian in the evangelical American church, I wished for those long, long past days. And maybe you can even think of one or two pictures from your childhood that are always constantly at the ready of your mind that say, these were safer days then. I wish we could go back then. I wish those days would come again. And just so you know, I long for them as much as you do. And yet we find ourselves in these later days that we are in. And in good fashion, God's word always provides some direction. And I hope to add some context for it. You know, if we look at the gospel lesson today on page 4 there, Matthew 25, it's a painfully simple message. And the message simply is keep watch. Be aware. And as I think about all that that might mean, given the events and the conversation with the evangelical Christian church, what with Joseph and Mary, the suffering of Jesus this past week, all the allegations of this and that, the defense, the offense, the headlines, I come down to that final sentence, and it really just purifies and clarifies everything for my heart and soul today, and I hope it does for you as well. Keep watch. Just keep watch. It invites the question, what's the direct object of the verb, of the command? What are we to keep watch after? Keep watch for yourself as you anticipate the presence of the coming Christ. As you remember in this worship service, the prior presence of the Christ who came, babe in Bethlehem, crucified Savior, resurrected Lord over sin, death, and the devil. Keep watch. Keep watch for yourself and remember that in the obsessive, overwhelming pressure of the attention that we are invited to give to all the other stuff that is going on in this soap opera, in this reality television show that we call the American Experience today, the ultimate lesson to be learned for you as one who waits with those bridesmaids for the bridegroom to escort him into that time of eternity is for you to be ready. For you to be ready because you have kept watch, you have been aware, and you have tended to the oil of your own lamp, the condition of your own soul, the well-being of your own moral compass. What I mean is this. There are 10 commandments, and the invitation from God each and every day is to take note of them and to advance. To advance in your allegiance to them. To advance in the way that you capture their moral precept and live it out in your life. Do you have a problem with cursing and swearing? Continue working on it. And don't get caught up in the illusion that there are more important things in this world than your soul, than the soul that Christ came into this world 2,000 years ago in order to reconcile you back to God. Your soul is of first order importance for you. Keep watch over it. And honor that second commandment of how you use your mouth and what words are emitted from it. Do you find yourself jealous because for you wages have stagnated even though the cost of living has continued to creep year after year to the higher? You find yourself covetous of what your neighbor has and you don't the retirement fund that your neighbor has amassed, but you have not? Be content. Strive for the prayer that says, Lord, help me be content in this land, in this life that you have afforded me to live. To let me know that after moth and rust have destroyed all that I have amassed, no matter how big or how little, there is an eternity of glory with you in which everything gets equalized in the absolute magnificence of your love. You find yourself with the sixth commandment committing adultery, whether with a person or on a screen, keep watch. Keep watch over the soul that God has given you, that is to be joined to Him in purity and absolute loyalty above all else. Keep watch. Of all the commandments, when it's all said and done, we are to keep watch over our souls because the Lord Jesus Christ not only is coming, but even more significantly, has already come, has already visited this earth, redeemed you from the wickedness of evil and sin at work in us and at work also in the world around us. And this Lord Jesus Christ invites us to keep watch over our souls and by extension the souls entrusted to our care, whether the ones that were on the screen or the ones that gather around the table at dinner time or breakfast with you, the ones that you will call on the phone this Sunday afternoon or evening. Keep watch. And for all the conversations that we can have with the latest allegations, the latest this, the latest that, the latest tweet, remember that when all is said and done, it finally comes down to the personal relationship every single human being has with the God who put them into motion in this world. The God who fashioned and formed us to be His own, the one who redeemed us in Jesus Christ. That is the fundamental source of our significance. To lose sight of that is to cease keeping watch. The Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world to repair our hearts and to turn our hearts back to Him. And it's a tough job when we see how the world continues to go. But like the nostalgic pictures that I have on my Facebook timeline, the ones that you can bubble up in your own heart and head, there is a greater nostalgia that we keep true and close to our hearts of faith, and that is that because Christ came and because Christ will come again, Christ is still the Lord of these days. And He still calls us by faith with intention. Keep watch. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. In short, for you to keep watch.